Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
So we'll be receiving God's servants to bring us God's word this morning. Amen. He's already a friend of the house. So, amen. Well, it's honored to have you, sir. So with TCC Joy, come on, let's welcome Reverend Sheu Fada Uti.
Let's worship him and exalt him. Manas is still a freaking ha. Hecrados, Rabababos, Abrecadiatarabosi Haka. Glory to your name, Matatis Denamo. We sing praises to your name. Hefratatis Denamo. Oh, Lord. We sing praises to your name. Efratos bakatish teni hanga. Oh Lord, for your name, for your name
is great
and greatly to be praised. Yes, adoration. Adoration to your name. Efrakitoto mokotosu storiangeria taramosa. Epriherro babababababababa. Epratiste riakarabosa sobakatete teketelta haka. Efrado babababababababababa. We sing praises to your name. Efrado sarabagateste riatarabababa. Efrado sabagatisto rababagatiste. Oh, ragiste geneando rososababa. Oh, fradisto romongariazaste rababababababatiste. He's great and greatly to be praised. Adoration. Adoration to your name. Efrados batate te
to.
Efrados I will rejoice and be glad in it. As we go into your word this morning, we ask once again for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of you, that the eyes of understanding may be flooded with light, that we might know what the hope of your calling is and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what excellent greatness of your power made available to us who believe. Thank you, Father, for glorifying yourself. We know without you, we can do nothing. And actually, without you, we are nothing. So we all yield ourselves, including myself. We yield ourselves to you as I minister and as we receive also that we receive of you. Thank you for healings and miracles. Thank you for breaking yokes and removing burdens. Thank you for healings and miracles. Thank you for bones that will be healed today. We give you praise and glory. For broken bones, bones that have problems being restored. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Lift up the hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Pastor Chisholm, thank you very much. And all the leaders, I want to thank you. And of course, I'm surprised. Hallelujah. She didn't tell me anything. She said, hey. She set me up. I said, wait till the apple. Glory to God. Oh, this is nice. I'm really happy. I'm really, really happy. Last time I was there was August 24, if I remember. Yeah. So, and thank you for you always treat me well. Thank you for the birthday, for the Christmas present too. I didn't say it. I got a Christmas present from the church. I know the elders know about it. Thank you very much. I'm very grateful. Bible says, those that honor me, I will honor. Those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. I know it's not me you are honoring. It's the grace of God on my life. So the God of all grace and comfort, we honor you too in Jesus' name. And he will reward you mightily in the name of Jesus. It always feels like home when I come here. I tell my wife, one day I'll bring her, don't worry. Tell my wife that there's a church in Enugu that anytime I'm around, except they are busy, they just want me to be there. So I keep telling her. So one day I'll bring her, don't worry, I'll bring her very soon. Is that getting closer? Because I looked at the hotel, I was like, just today, this morning, as I woke up, was thinking, maybe my wife will be with me next time in Enugu. Hallelujah. So I don't know whatever he's planning, but I just know that if I come and take marriage again, this time she will come. She normally used to dodge. That she dodged, but now she has gone to Nasara with me. So I know she can't dodge anymore. We have broken that. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank God for good wives, you know. Yes, hallelujah. Thank God for good wives. My wife likes hiding in the background. Praise God. That you are the one that is minister. So, praise God. If she comes here now, she will want to sit at the back. But you know that one, she's not allowed. But don't mind that. Amen. It's good to have a good marriage. Hallelujah. You know me already. I just started this day and the Holy Spirit starts moving. So that's what I didn't plan this one now. So, you know, it's good to have a good marriage. When he says, don't worry, the title of the message is, give me title. Let me tell you ahead of time, is the integrity of God's word. She said, this month you are treating living by every word. Matthew 4:4. But the title of today's message, she gave me the title, I will obey, is the integrity of God's word. And I've been praying about it and I have a message. But let's just gist a bit first. You know, it's good to have a good marriage. Can I come down? Thank you very much. You know, it's good to have a good marriage. It's good. It's not good to go out and come back and you meet a terror at home. That some men, they will go and play with their friends. Some even born again, they'll go and visit this man. Let's share word first. When it is late. Now, as if they went to drink, they will now come home in the evening because they don't want any wahala. Bible says it is better to dwell on the rooftop in the attic than in the corner in the roof, than to live with a quarrelsome woman in the same house. Women, you have power. That the Bible himself agreed. That is better. It is, you know, he never said it about the man. You know, it's funny. That why is it the woman he talked about? That it's better to dwell on the corner of the roof, alone, attic, than to live in the same house with a quarrelsome, cantankerous, nagging woman. 1 Peter chapter 3. Preacher has taught me to stop saying this is not my message. So I'm just preaching what I will do. This is part of the message. It's still the integrity of the word. I would say the word has integrity. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1. Wives, in the same way, let's go to 1 Peter 2:18. So we read it contextually. He's not married seminar. It's okay. Don't worry, I already know where God wants. At least I have an idea where God wants to end. God wants to minister to the sick. But let's start with where we are. 1 Peter 2:18. He says, slaves. No, that seems very rude. KJV says servants. Leave it in NIV. I like you. Yeah, I'm good. I like you. Yeah, in the spirit. It's good. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Continue. You will see that the Bible has some things that if we don't pay attention, we'll not see it. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. Let's read it together. It is, no, verse 19, let's read it together. So not me that said it. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. That means that when he says, wife, submit to your husband, it's not because the husband is loving the wife. I'm still coming for husband, so just let them say yes. Let them say yes. It's not because the husband is loving the wife. He said he might not even be loving the wife, but he said it is a service to God. Keith Moore said something. I quote him a lot. I listen to him. He's one of my major mentors. He says when people get to a divorce court and they say they are divorcing because of irreconcilable differences, he says either one of them or both of them have stopped submitting. You see now? Submitting to who? To God. If the wife submits to God, how she will show it is by submitting to her husband. If the husband submits to God, how we show it is by loving his wife. So, both of them have stopped submitting to God. So everybody, that's what I'm showing from this scripture. That all this one we say, we are fighting submission is because you can see demand. So everybody is submitting, must do, is instructed to submit to God. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. Continue, please. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? It's not husband and wife talking about to his servant Pastor Biko. Get the Bible right too. Those days I was still slavery. Let's say man, this is what I say. Ah, he says beating. The angels will deal with you. You know, I keep saying that. You see, it's because women don't, you see, it's because we don't walk straight with God. I'm talking about living by every word, the integrity of God's word. That is why we don't see God defend us enough. I heard of a story of a woman. She was working in another company. In this country, the husband was very philanderous, always misbehaving. He got to a stage, she got tired, she packed out of the house. They went to beg her, she begged him. He begged her. She came back. Family begged her. But the guy didn't stop misbehaving. What did I say? Even on their matrimonial home, and she was earning more than him. She was working in another company, he had maybe a small job, and she was spending anyhow. Now one day, she called the pastor. Pastor, pray, they've rushed my husband to the hospital. The pastor said, I knew that pastor had a little, some of a prophetic. I actually believe he's a prophet, that God just had the pastor for some time. He said something. He said, I just knew as I knew my name, that he will never come back. That God had been waiting for him. Yeah, he will go to heaven. He go to heaven, he's born again, he repented Jesus. He said, but I knew, I'm not even sure he was born again, but that was, I even if he was born. He said, I knew as I knew my name, that I will never come back. But she said, Pastor, pray. So I just prayed a religious prayer. But as far as I'm concerned, it was like saying, Trickle, Tickle, Little Star. I wonder what you are. Because I knew he was never going to come back. No, if you read the book by Kenneth Hagin, Married, Divorce, and Remarriage, he said, at least two people have known that they died in their late 30s or early 40s because they didn't treat their spouse well. He said, we prayed and prayed, but God said, no, let him come home. So these ones were born again. Breaking normally ministers to ministers and believers. He said, let him come home. He's not treating his spouse right. And I've told him and told him. Oh, very risky. Let's continue. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. You see, why we don't see God defend us well by not living in consistent fellowship and in symphony with him? If we are in symphony with him, staying where he told us to stay, we see him fight for us. God, that's what I'm going to talk about. He's not a man that should lie. His word is dependable. Let's continue. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Did I read verse 20? Yes, I did. Okay. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. What was he trying to show us? That even Jesus submitted. That's what I'm going to show you this morning. Part of what I'm going to show you. That Jesus, the Lord and Master, is submitted. I'll give you two scriptures. Already know Philippians 2:9 says the same thing. But let's read it here. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sin in his own body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Continue. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. But chapter 2:3, I think verse 1 should be next. Yes. He said, wives, in the same way. In which same way? As the servants submit to their husbands, as servants submit to their master. As Jesus submitted to the will of God. So there were two examples. People that teach place, they only use about servants. No, Jesus himself also. He said, in the same way as both servants and Jesus submit, said. He said, you too. In the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. So that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without the words by the behavior of their wives. Tell your neighbor, thank God for good wives. And if you are sitting beside your wife, say, I thank God for you. If you are sitting, I said, say, I thank God for you. You are sitting beside your wife.
Amen. Do you know why? Because he's saying that because of the conduct of the wives, it can affect them. Thank God for good wives. Sweet Wiggles, what backslid? They met us in mission, in Salvation Army. He was addicted to evangelism. He met his wife there. Sweet Wiggles, what? He married her. But he was still practicing his plumbing. Then gradually his heart started winning towards God. And he backslid. The wonderful ministry we talk about, Sweet Wiggles, what? That he said he shook nearly every continent. He raised 23 people from the dead. Did you know it was after he was 50? He died at 86 or 87. It was after he was 50. That wonderful ministry. He backslid in his 40s. But this wife didn't stop going to church. He said, I'm going to deal with you. You are going to church too much. See the balance. The woman said, you are my head in the home, but you are not my Lord. He said, and it's not true. I'm not shirking my responsibility. Your meals are always ready. The kids are always taken care of. I plan my time well. You see now, and I'm still going to church. So that day, she went to church and he locked her out overnight in the cold. It must like she must have had enough winter coat and all that. Locked her out in the cold. And in the morning, when he opened the door, she didn't fight. She said, how are you, my love? What did I cook for you this morning? And she went to cook his best breakfast. The man broke, as was eating, he broke down in tears. But since you ain't even hungry, feed him. He said, yeah, I keep coals of fire on his head. The coals of fire is coals of fire on his conscience. Not to punish him, to prick his conscience. If he's still sharp. He broke to cleanse and he repented. And we have the wonderful ministry that shook the whole world. He went to South Africa, he shook South Africa. Where everywhere he went, he was revival. But there was a wife that stayed true when his heart became cold. Thank God for good wives. Another man Kenneth Hagin talked about. He was an elder in a church. Because he was the richest man in the church. Like they wanted to do, like we did church project now. I know there's nobody like that here. They wanted to do church project. Build a new building. Among the elders they met, he was one of the elders. They brought two options. He wanted this design. Every other person wanted the other design. Because he was giving the most money, maybe 50 or 60% of money the whole church was. It was him. They come from his pocket. He vexed. Pastor said, there's no need to fight now. It is not our church. It belongs to the whole church. So let's bring it to the whole congregation. So it's not as if we planned against you. So the pastor, they now made three options. The whole church choose which ones do you want. When they voted, they chose the one they still didn't like. It was a denomination. So he called headquarters. He wanted to remove the pastor. They didn't grieve. Then he got vexed. He stopped coming to church. But say, thank God for good wives. If your wife is, say it again, if your wife is beside you, say thank you. Because the woman kept coming to church. The woman kept coming to, you know, when you open the door to the devil, it's not as if, I was telling them in class yesterday, it's not that God put sickness on you. But when you open, the devil has been looking, Bible says, Job 110, saying you have made an edge, Satan said it himself, that you have made an hedge around Job. That means Satan went around. He was looking for an opening. That means he was looking, how did he know there was an edge around him? He went around checking. If there was one way to enter. He said, you have made an hedge around him and all that he has. You bless the work of his hands and his substance increased in land. So, this woman kept going to church. But the man broke the hedge. He was walking in bitterness, strife. And Bible says, when there is strife and bitterness, there is every evil work. I like to call it the manifest presence of the devil. You don't need to come. The devil doesn't come to you. Doesn't come to you in a vision. Or like an Okija shine medicine man. Once you are lying strife consistently in your house, the devil is already living with you. That's why you stop whatever is causing strife. You kill it. We have to settle this thing. We must not be striving. Hallelujah. So this woman kept going. Then the man fell sick. He was very rich. This was late 40s, I think, or early 50s. You see how rich he was. And they kept treating him. Kept treating him. He got to a place. The hospital, the doctor said, I'm sorry, sir. We've done our best. Go and go home, set your house in order for that shall surely die. That same night, like Dr. Chichi would say, he bottled himself brain. He didn't wait for the next morning. He said, call pastor. He said, pastor, there was land phone. Pastor, I'm very sorry. I messed up. I'm nearly dying now. I'm very sorry. He said, pastor, call the elders. Call the deacons. Even bring representatives from the church. Everybody, if you can, please, I'm begging. Can you come to my house this night? There were, you see how rich he was. There were 40 people in his sitting room that night. When he was begging everybody, he said, "Pastor, I want to apologize." He was bedridden. The elders went to carry him from upstairs down. He was now saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." The pastor was too excited. He forgot his oil, bottle of oil. He told the wife, "Do you have any oil in the kitchen, vegetable oil?" She said, "Yes, like 1 liter." The man forgot. James 5:16. Did he say, did he qualify the kind of oil? He said, "Anointing him with oil. Oh, palm oil, oil. Oh, Johnson oil, oil. Oh, vegetable oil, oil. Oh, olive oil, oil." We see, we go beyond the Bible. He never said anointing oil. There is nowhere in the New Testament. I told them in class yesterday, I'll give anyone $100. He can find anywhere in the New Testament where the word and phrase anointing oil is used. It's only the Old Testament. He never said anointing oil. He said oil. James 5:16, quickly, we'll come back here. James 5:14 and 15, please, Biko. James 5:14 and 15, then we'll come back to verse 3. He said, "Let them pray over him, anoint." Is any sick among you? James 5:14 and 15. "Let him call for," is any among you, so anyone among you sick, "let him call the elders of the church." That's what he did. He was obeying the scripture. "To pray over him, over them, and anoint them with," oh, oil. Oil is oil. Olive oil, vegetable oil, baby oil. "With oil in the name of the Lord." Verse 15. It is because what makes the oil work is because it is in the name of the Lord. What makes the oil work? Because it is the prayer of faith that is offered. It is the prayer of faith offered in the name of the Lord. That's what makes it work. And the prayer of faith, of the prayer offered in faith, will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. So this man qualified. So he was, so the pastor was so happy, he emptied the whole 1 liter on his head. But you know, the power of God came upon that man. The man that they brought down bedridden got up and started dancing. The pastor said, "We started a revival in his house that night. We continued in the church the next day for the next 3 weeks." Say, thank God for good wives. What if his wife stopped coming to church? Hallelujah. So 1 Peter 3, let's quickly continue and finish that. Then we'll continue as we have been continuing. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if anyone of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Verse 2. When they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. There are kids there. I'll say it in code. People say the way to a man's life, heart is his stomach. It's not totally true. It's when you're married, you know. Some people say the way to a man's heart is something else. You understand? Adults understand. Men understand. I won't say more than that. It's still not totally true. The way to a man's heart is honor and reverence. When you honor him, now many times, the honor now shows in the other things. You get, it manifests, but it must be an attitude of honor first. Every other thing comes behind with the honor. All those things are like, seek first of God, all the other things shall be added unto you. So all those things come, they are added to the honor. They come with the honor. There are things that accompany salvation. They are accompanying the honor. Praise God. He said, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Continue. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment. I find. Now, so big girl, they say, I find. She sees it, she no go marry. Because she's shocked with I find. She's not developing character. She's not developing character. She thinks fineness will cover for her. I won't cover. Because charm is deceptive. Beauty is only skin deep. It won't cover for character. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. You know, I've learned to trust the Holy Ghost. One, I just keep speaking. Like, money, why am I talking? My head is shouting. Why am I saying? Let me continue. Since I was eager to the message, the other is part of the message. Rather, it should be that of your inner self. And I know God. When I'm saying this, I mean some people need to hear it. That of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. You know what this verse means? So don't say that I'm sanguine, I'm what? I'm phlegmatic. Which other one do they say? I'm melancholy. Which one is very aggressive? I'm choleric, I'm whatever. If you are a wife, whichever color you are, you must come with a gentle and quiet spirit. Oh, Bible. Forever your word is settled in heaven. Quiet spirit, which is in the sight of great worth in God's sight. Continue. For this is the way, it's linking to my what I'm going to focus on. Holy women of the past who put their hope in God. When we're talking about the integrity of God's word, When you know God has your back, you will not be scared. Who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands. Like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him our Lord. Jesus is our Lord. You understand? Reverenced him. That's what he said. We are not saying be calling us Lord. Be cool. You are our daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. You see, we talked about the wife. So I was listening to a message. Someone said, God used 6 verses to talk to the wife. Now only 1 verse did you speak yours. He said, man, I don't know. Now Bible. He said, that 6 verses. I don't know. But now 6 verses. Glory to God. So, he says, if you do this, you'll be daughters of Abraham. But he said, they trusted God. You see, every part of our lives, our jobs, our marital lives, our extended family, our worship in church, everything should hinge on our relationship with God. The Christian life is a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. Let me continue. I will still come there. Now, Brother Ege cracked the joke. He said, this man, he had served God so much. He was living in New York or where, Texas, wherever. He wanted to go to Hawaii. And there's water between Hawaii and whichever other part of America. And he said, God said, you have been so good, I want to bless you. He said, ask for anything. The man said, I want to go to Hawaii, but I don't like flying. I don't like water. Can you make a bridge across the ocean from here? I can't remember. I don't know the graph of America. But from their city to Hawaii. God said, that's not necessary. If you fly, I will protect you. I beg. Think for something else. The guy said, well, you see, I've been married and I really don't understand women. He says, since you created them yourself, I believe you should understand women. Can you teach me how to understand women? Kenneth Ege, the holy man. He created this in his 80th birthday in 1997. He was 80. He had been married for 59 years when he said this. He said there was a long pause. Then God answered, that bridge, how many lanes you want? That bridge, how many lanes you want? Is it 2 lanes? Is it 4 lanes? Hallelujah. Did you know something? No, women, I'm telling men, let me advise you. You better be spiritual. Sometimes you don't know why she's quiet. What's wrong? Nothing. How are you? I'm fine. What did I do? Nothing. So you just look inside. I do it. Let me, I do it in God. Mangra hosos tilafrate ketate kusto pranake. And I have the witness. Okay. Is this thing? Okay. So I start talking along that line. And sometimes the Holy Spirit says, leave her. She's just been carnal. She will soon start playing with you again. And I keep quiet. That's the truth. Don't let me lie. He said, just leave her. She's not seen. I will work on her myself. You, it's not your side. So I keep continuing living my life. Amen. Praise God. So that is place of wives. Now look at husbands. He said, husbands, in the same way, you too, be considerate as you live with your wives. Tell your, if you have a man beside, tell the man, be considerate. Be considerate the way you live with your wives. The literal KJV says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Leave it in NIV. The literal Greek is that with normal knowledge, not revelation knowledge. Not the revelation knowledge. You pray, you read the Bible, I saw revelation. No, observatory knowledge. You observe them. Now, Lord, can I help you? Say, you didn't observe that place well. Look well again. Observatory knowledge. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Has ears with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. He gave men 1 verse, but you know that verse is so powerful because if your prayer is inside that, is that means your faith is in that. If your faith is in that, that means the devil has a free day in your life. Hallelujah. So that is why we teach them well. So that man wasn't treating his wife well, and he got an express ticket to heaven. Glory to God. Direct flight. Didn't pass good. Just went. Glory to God. So let us live right. Husband, live right. Wife, live right. Just play your role. You understand, study your wife. Some people, your wife likes food from outside at least once a week. Something you buy from outside, coming home, buy it. God will prosper you. Amen. Buy it. Some, she likes once in a month. Wait, let's leave the house. Let my sister look after the children. Just let me go and stay in the hotel. Just waking me sleeping, nothing else. Do it. God will prosper you. God will prosper you. It might not be once a month. It might be once in 6 months. So it might be once a year. When he went for counseling in marriage, this is my method, I say the prophet. My wife and I went to see him in Lagos. We're still living in Oshobo then. He said something. He said, when we started, he said, going out together, dates. He said, we need have anything. A pioneer church in Abaddon. He said, our first going out together as married couples, we will stroll on the street, go and buy bole on the junction, and we'll stroll back. Now they have traveled around the world. But it started with, we'll stroll to buy bole. Hallelujah. And she understood that is what he had, but was giving her time. So tell your neighbor, dwell with your wife, if you are a man, with your wife, according to knowledge. Study her like a project, and it will be well with you. Amen. Father, we give you praise and glory. You are the one that knows the reason why I said that. So we just did it by faith. Amen. Glory to God. Living by every word. Matthew 4:4, please. Matthew 4:4. If you don't know the background of Matthew 4:4, let's go and read the background. Deuteronomy chapter 8, sorry. Verse 1. Let's read the background. The Israelites were in the wilderness. They had left Egypt. Praise God. And there was no food. They didn't know where food was going to come from. And God sent something. They called it manna. Well, they don't know what it was. See what Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verse 1 said. Be careful to follow. Deuteronomy is the second rendering of the law. Moses was like a farewell message, reminding them the things God had said. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. Look at verse 3. Can we read together verse 3, 1, 2, 3, go. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna. Let's stop there. What does that mean? Was that maybe you didn't get the meal where you wanted, but he fed you. You know, I experienced that on campus. I was overzealous. Last born, they gave me plenty of money. I would sow into fellowship. I'll give people that need. Me, myself, I'll not take care of. I'll now no, have no money, no food. I'll now be believing God for food. You know that there is, I could say boldly, that I don't think any day went that I didn't eat at least one good meal. You understand? God will always show up. So, it might not come then I wanted, but it came. So, one time I released my faith. And I was standing in faith. I thought it would be bread and akara. I wanted akara and bread. And I didn't get bread and akara. But you know something happened? Looking back, like 10 p.m., another friend of mine just went to Mozambique College, Female Law. Just came from Female Law with a pack of food. He said, I went to visit this sister, and she cooked, she said, I should give you food too. Looking back, she must have started cooking when I prayed. As soon as I prayed, she started cooking in Jesus' name. That day blessed me so much. When I prayed, she started cooking in Jesus' name. But the guy gisted, he ate his own gisted, but God had answered when I prayed. The food finally came at 10 p.m. Why am I saying? He said, he allowed you to hunger as that. He didn't get it what you wanted, but he fed you. He fed you. Then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. So nobody knew this thing existed before. That means God wants to do miracles that he didn't know existed before. That means finances, business ideas will come and will make prosperity, and you never knew that thing existed before. See, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you know the problem why people don't want to live by every word? Because they are doubting the integrity of that word. When you know that word is sure, that husband love your wife if he wants it to be well with you, you won't argue. No matter what you do, she does. You will obey. You will practice 1 Corinthians 13 towards her. You understand what I'm saying? Because you already know if you do it, it will be well with you. I have another story of husband and wife. This man of God went to preach in Ilorin. When I was, she was a man of God in Oshobo. He was invited to preach in a church in Kwara State, in Ilorin. So before going, he had two other friends every week. They were all pastors in town. Every week, once a week, they come together and pray. Since he was traveling, they prayed about his traveling, his mission meeting in Ilorin. As they were praying, one of them saw a vision. He said, I saw a man. He said, he has a beard. He has this. He described the man. Hallelujah. He described the man specifically. He said, that man, his business is crashing because he's not treating his wife well. 1 Peter 3:7 said it now. Your prayers will be in that. He said, tell him, if he starts treating his wife well, his business will explode. So the man got to Ilorin, 3-day crusade. Since the man was well described, he was looking physically for the man. First day, he didn't see him. Second day, he didn't see him. Third day, he didn't see him. He said, but I trust my friend now. God uses him revelation gifts. He said, well, I will just announce it. So he gave the background story, like I said. So if you are here, this is your husband. He described the man. This the man. A woman ran not. He said, he's my husband. I've been begging him since the first day to come. So if he had said it the first day, should have brought him the second day. I've been begging him since the first day to just follow me to this crusade. He said, no. He's the one. No, you described him exactly. So she went home to bring him. Before the man travels the next morning, you must see him. When the man saw him, he said, well, this is what my friend said. God told him. The man told him. The man said, okay, I will change. The man started looking after his wife. If I say what Kwara State gave him to do, people can trace him, so I don't want to say it. And his business just exploded. He became a consultant to the government, doing his work and making legal, authentic, right money, not corruption money. Hallelujah. It was in a field that they needed his expertise, and they remembered him and they called him. And his life changed forever. You know what happened? That the man that had revelation that was in Oshobo, he bought him a car. To show you how much. The man that came to preach, he built a new church. 70% of the money that built that church came from him. Because he said, I obeyed the word of God and my life changed. So it's very important. Treat your wife well. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Pray for them. Lord, I know she loves me and I love her. Even though sometimes the way she's behaving, I don't understand. But help me. Help me. Show me what to do to be a good husband to her. Hallelujah. The God kind of love is not selfish. Hallelujah. He's not just looking for his own profit. He goes out of his way to look for others. Philippians 2 verse 1 to 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. So I said, the integrity of the word. I wrote so many things. Many times when I'm praying, those thoughts just start coming to my spirit. And I know God wants me to touch them in the meeting. So that's why it just deals with me. Hallelujah. So I said, why people don't live by the word? Because they are not sure of the integrity of that word. They are not sure if that word is dependable. I have about 6 points. These verses we'll just analyze one by one to show you that the word of God is what is dependable. Hallelujah. Before we start, let's know this. Number one, when we fellowship with the word, we are fellowshipping with God. Please write it down. When you are fellowshipping with the word, you are fellowshipping with God. 1 John chapter 1. Sorry, I'll come back to Philippians 2 later. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1. When you fellowship with the word, you are fellowshipping with God. He said that which was from the beginning, which you have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. Verse 2. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So when I'm preaching the word to you, you are not just fellowshipping together, we're actually fellowshipping with God. So when you are reading the word yourself, you are meditating on the word, you're actually fellowshipping with God. And when you fellowship with God, he speaks to you. Some people say, God doesn't speak to me. God does speak to you. When you wanted to do 419 and that verse came to you that let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor with his hand the thing that is good. Who do you think spoke to you? It was God. When you wanted to get angry one day in the office, Bible says, be angry but sin not. Who do you think spoke to you? Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak. For the wrath of man and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man walketh not the righteousness of God. Who do you think spoke to you? So stop looking for highfalutin ways that I want a voice. Don't look for voices, though, even though demons can accommodate you. Because God didn't promise you voice. The only two things he promised you in the Bible is his word and the witness. He said, I will stand upon my word. Psalm 85 verse 8. I will see what the Lord will say to me. The Lord will speak peace to his people. Peace. So the witness of peace or no peace, that's what he promised. Then he promised in the scriptures. I didn't see in the Bible. Pastor Chisholm's husband didn't go and read the Bible one day and say, in Acts chapter 32, verse 54. There is no Acts 32. Acts chapter 32, verse 54. That go and marry Chisholm. He didn't see it. Hallelujah. He must have been reading the Bible. He was praying. He swore. He had peace about it. And they got married. Glory to God. That's how God did. He might not have seen a vision. Don't wait for spectacular leadings. You will get yourself into trouble. Don't wait for spectacular, because the man of God said, I was praying about that matter. After 3 days there and fasting, Jesus walked into my room. Now start praying and fasting that Jesus will appear to you. Better be careful. Demon can appear to you. For he never promised that we appear. All he said is, call upon me, I will answer. He can answer by a scripture. He can answer by peace. The more you think about it, the more it brings peace. Or it just brings an idea that you never thought of to your mind. As those ideas are in your mind, there is a peace in your heart that this is God. He has spoken. People wonder how I am so easy about being led. I check my heart about things. Man, don't suffer. I said, that's what we're going to do. And people wonder, you mean that's what? I said, that's what. I have peace already. What do you want again? Romans 8:16. He said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If that is how he will let me know I'm a child, that is how he will let me know that I'm going back to Abuja safe and sound. I woke up this morning praying in tongues, so I'm going by here. Matos of Fraketista. There is peace. That means I'll get to Abuja safe and sound. You see, if you get used to talk. Actually, this message has been running in my heart. So I will preach it and I will still preach. You must learn to be led by the Spirit of God. It is very important. Many people have gotten into trouble because they don't follow that witness. And something told me, not to take that trip. And the person takes that trip. Thank God, mercy of God saves him. But his car is wrecked and total. And something told me, no, it wasn't something. It was someone speaking to you. He was someone, but he's gentle. He's not an evil spirit. The evil spirit will drive. He will force you. Him, he will just speak gently. Jesus said, because I'm meek and lowly in heart. You take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He won't force you. Because I am meek and I'm lowly in heart. Hallelujah. So the word, the integrity of God's word. When we fellowship with the word of God, we are fellowshiping with God. Say, how do I know to be led? As you are reading that Bible. Sometimes you just woke up and you are reading a scripture. And there's just a joy and a peace about it. The more you read it, you know, oh, I've seen this. He said, when you want to make another decision, the more you pray, if you have that peace and joy, that's God telling you, go and do it. If there is discomfort, that's telling you, hold on. It might not be no, but still hold on, leave it until you have peace. And if you never have peace, that is no, leave it, don't do it. As simple as that. When we fellowship with God, we are fellowshipping with his word. Hebrews chapter 1. He says, God, who at sundry times, verse 1, and in diverse manner spoke in time past to our fathers. Hebrews 1:1. By the prophets. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. And that son is a living word. Remember. Whom he has appointed of all things. Through whom also he made the world, universe. The son is the radiance of God's glory. And the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. If you want to be led, don't go and pray and fast to God, whether you should be kind to your wife. It's already in the Bible. Don't go and pray and fast to God, whether you should look after your children. It's already in the Bible. Don't go and pray and fast to God, whether you should be an excellent worker in your office. It's already in the Bible. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. Is this everything we do? We say in Jesus' name, I'm doing it. No, as representatives of the Lord. So you are representing Jesus in that office. That's what he's saying. Live by the word. When you are fellowshipping with God, what you are fellowshipping with God. Second point, the Bible is God speaking to me. The Bible is God speaking to me. You see, when we know that, life becomes easier. First point was, when we fellowship with the Word, we are fellowship with God. Second point, the Bible is God speaking to me. When you see it in the Bible, be careful for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and mind by Christ Jesus. You now come to meet me. Someone came to meet Brian again, actually. Then he said, Bible says, be careful for nothing. He said, not everybody has the kind of faith you have. You are too hard. Brian said, but they have the same Bible I have. They have the same Bible I have. And I'm not the one that said it. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. So obey the Bible. The Bible is God speaking to you. I met someone some time ago, and she was telling me, oh, my husband is a wizard. He sees me, monitors me spiritually. He does. I said, and you are born again. Yes, his power is so powerful. He knows where I am now. He knows what I'm thinking. He even inserts himself in my dreams. I said, and you believe, and you are a Christian? She said, yes. I said, the Bible says, if you are a Christian, Isaiah 54 verse 17, from 16 and 17, he said, I'm the one that made the smith that made the weapons of destruction. I'm the one that made the destroyer that destroys, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that is against you in judgment is condemned. I said, so, is it demonic power? He said, yes. The Bible said, if it's formed against you, it will not prosper. He said, no, you don't understand. I know what I'm saying. I said, okay, another scripture. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said in verse 19, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the ability of the evil one, and nothing shall by me is hurt you. But you are telling me that this power of the one is hurting you. Who should I believe, you or the Bible? I agree with the Bible. He said, I know what I've experienced. She's older than me. So I said, let me try once more. He said, let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. He said, verse 12 says, giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified us, Colossians 1:12, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from them. Say, I'm delivered. I'm not looking for deliverance. I'm delivered. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? I'm dominion of darkness. I like this one. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son in loves, in whom we have redemption. What it means to redeem, to buy back from under bondage. He has redemption through his blood, the remission of our sin, remission, the forgiveness of our sins. Praise God. I showed her that. Her attitude didn't show as if she agreed. But I couldn't help her again. She wanted me to use one anointing to pray. I said, this one is not prayer. Just agree with God. Because the Bible is God speaking to me. Just agree with what he has said. So, because people have funny, because they magnify experiences beyond the word of God. You read the story, maybe I've said it here. One of Bragging's friends, a pastor, he was sick. Bragging was ministering to the sick in his church. The man didn't come for healing. He now got to say, Brother Egan, you know, don't bother praying for me. God has told me that it is not his will for me to be well, to be healed. He said, what happened? He said, he went to preach for another friend, 2 weeks meeting. During the meeting, he had a sickness that is not terminal, but would definitely shorten his life. Maybe would have died in his 50s. You understand? So, he said, that crisis came up again, like sickle cell crisis. I don't know what his own was. It was a crisis. So he couldn't preach in the meeting. He was sleeping in bed. He had to spend 2 weeks with his friend before he could come back home. He said, during those 2 weeks, one day while he was sleeping, he said the wind was blowing. And the curtains were flying. And bright light shone into the room. And somebody walked into the room, went white. He said, before he could see the person's face, the person disappeared. He just saw his leg was looking up. Before he got to the face, but the person now said, it is not my will to heal you. He said, so, God has given me a supernatural experience that is not his will to heal him. Ah, right, he said, Hakika. Hakruka 4. Hallelujah. Hakruka 4, this one. He said, but he had an elder brother that wasn't born again. Good guy, supporting his ministry financially, but not born again. And he had told Brian, pray for my elder brother, he must get saved. He said, imagine your brother comes today and tells us that. My pastor, younger brother, and brother Ken, again, don't bother praying for me. God has told me that I have a room in hell already. How do you know? He said, I had a vision. Somebody came wearing white. Jesus was even the person. And he said, it's not my will for you to be saved. The man said, no, that cannot be Jesus. He said, why? 2 Timothy 2 says that this is good and acceptable God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the truth. He said, is that so? But Matthew 8, 17 says that himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses too. That I'm the Lord that healed thee. And the man got healed. He was going to destroy his own life with a spectacular supernatural experience. I don't care what supernatural experience you've had. If it negates the word of God, it is not God speaking to you. Tell your neighbor, the Bible is God speaking to me. There is never a right way to do a wrong thing. The Bible, say it again, the Bible is God speaking to me. So you see now, it doesn't matter your experience. You might have been paying, giving tithes and giving offering for 30 years. Giving, supporting the gospel. Generous to the gospel for 30 years. And you see that I am generous, but it seems as if God is not helping my business. Doesn't mean when you give to God, he doesn't partner with you. You are the one maybe that is not activating with your faith. Your experience cannot negate God's word. Your experience cannot negate. Can they think he had the same experience? He was generous. He was giving, do everything. But he was suffering financially. Then he took time to start praying and fasting. Say, God, what is happening? God said, your problem is that you don't practice what you preach. He said, I'm in band of faith. I practice. He said, when it comes to healing, you can be commended. You practice faith. He said, Jesus told him that you could be shivering physically with signals that we're nearly going to kill you. You get on that pulpit and you preach the gospel and tell everybody it is well with you that you are healed. And when you are preaching, the sickness will go. He said, when it comes to sickness, you are practicing your faith. But in finances, you are not practicing faith. There was one time his wife wrote him a letter that we have all these bills to pay. Bragging prayed for hours. God, you settle it. God said, why are you doing it? What are you doing? Is it your shouting that will make me settle it? Can you just ask me and believe that I've heard you and to be settled? No, God. He said, why are you behaving like this? Hallelujah. So God said, your problem is that you don't use your faith for finances like you use it for healing. Not many of us are like that. You know why? You know, because sickness is here. It's pain. You know, the bill you can forget 2 weeks. But the pain, you know, if you forget, if it's there, it's there. You turn in the night, the pain there. You say, no, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Because you don't want the pain. Hallelujah. Jesus told him, why the problem is that you're doing everything right. You are putting me first. You seek me first. You're in your business. You haven't partnered with my ministry, with your business. Hallelujah. But the problem is that you are not releasing your faith. Releasing your faith. The Bible says the church shall live by faith. The Bible is God speaking to me. The Bible says the way to receive from God what things soever I desire. When you pray, believe that time that you receive it. Mark 11:24, and you shall have it. So why are you praying about this money 5 times? Father God, September is coming. We need to settle the schools again. The school fees for the year. No, some people pay once, some pay thrice. But well, whatever, whether it's done, okay, whether it's taught, where is secondary school, is a part time. If it's university, now once you go pay them. So, well, September is coming. I have 3 kids. They are resuming school. The bill, they're already on holiday, Abby. The bill is, for 3 of them, is 3.5 million. Father, your word says that you prosper the works of my hands. Your word says that Jesus said in John chapter 6, they already knew what he would do. So concerning this bill, I know you already know what you do. I just ask you in the name of Jesus that at the time they are resuming, we have more than enough to settle the bills. In Jesus' name. Amen. After that, you've prayed. You wake up the next morning, the devil comes. Hey, this bill. Say, thank you. It's with God. It's settled. So every day when you are praying, instead of praying about it, you give thanks. Thank you, Father, for the bills are settled. I believe I received the 3.5 million for the school fees. I believe. Thank you, Father. And you keep living your life. Now, when you are staying in faith that way, many times we don't know, you must start with faith because the just shall live by faith. And faith is based on the word of God. That's starting with the word. Now, it might occur to you, call this guy. You just call him. He said, I've been thinking of you. There is a job in my office. I feel you are the one that can do it. Hallelujah. You just have a feeling, okay, normal activity. Maybe you have a party or something in the village that you have to be there. And you travel normally. You get there, somebody meets you. Bros, what are you even doing now? Long time I've seen you. This is what I do. We need your expertise. So I beg, call me on Monday. My office needs your expertise. And jobs start coming in. And you're not wasteful. As the money comes in, you just take what you normally used to spend. You save the extra. And September comes, you have maybe 3.8 million for the school fees. Minus your normal living. Hallelujah. That's how God works. That's how it works. You are a businessman. You have a shop. Suddenly, more people just start coming to your shop to buy things. Reverend Emeka Amotuka said something. He said, when his son resumed university in Europe, I think it was Europe. Was it America? I think it was Europe. He said, I couldn't afford the fees. I couldn't afford. He said, during those times, for a preacher, it's different. God blesses him through people giving to him as he's preaching. But that is still his work. Everybody must work. I was still praying this morning. I said, God, I will take this work even more seriously. I'll pray in this one because it's my work. I will prepare more. I will study more. Because it is my work. Reverend Miko said, throughout when that guy was in school, university for 4 years or something. You know, in UK, you just open an account. You can make an instrumental payment. Just an amount must be in that account by the end of that month. They will remove it. If you default twice or three times, they withdraw your child from school. There is no party in jungle. Simple. No party for jungle. Praise God. No begging. So, he said, anywhere he went to preach then, he said everybody gave him double what they were giving him. Please, I fear God, he said this testimony. He said, would I give him 100,000, give him 200,000. He says, even some small churches, when and they break the offering, the honorarium. He said, no, this is too much. I'm not taking it. He said, God told us that is what we should give you. But you know the funny thing? He said, the day that boy graduated, that phenomenon stopped. He said, God wanted to show me that I'm the one that sent the boy to school, not you. One particular one of his sons. He said, I didn't have the money. He said, God just wanted to show me that I'm the one that sent him to school, not you. He said, the day he graduated, I paid the last money like this, pim, all finish. Glory to God. You know, God is awesome. The Bible is God speaking to me. If the Bible is God speaking to you, and it says by his stripes you are healed, and you are saying you are not healed, who should I believe? The Bible. Hebrews, Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. So the third point before I go to that is that God is not a man that he should lie. If it's the Bible, is God speaking to you, God does not lie. Numbers 23:19. I have about 6 or 7 points. One by one. Just pictures to prophets. That is when the integrity of God's word. You see, when we are convinced that God's word is true, we are confident. Hallelujah. We are confident. A man of God said there was a financial bill coming his way. He needed to settle. When they prayed about it in his family, they rejoiced. And he was giving thanks and rejoicing. Say it is settled. I think it was for the ministry. He settled. In Jesus' name, he was rejoicing. And some time later, before the deadline, the money came in. He said, everybody in the office, it was the pastor. We're now rejoicing, dancing. He said, Pastor, why are you not dancing? Not dancing. He said, I danced my own the day we prayed. I danced my own the day we prayed because I knew God does not lie. God is not a man. God is not a man that I should lie. God is not human that I should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill it? Next verse. Look at it. Balak brought Balaam to curse Israel. Is that so? Balaam went to do rituals, divination. And you know, this proves to us that God worked with many other people before Jesus came. The only reason why the record of the Israelites is the one we have in the Bible is because the Bible is about Jesus. It's not about Israelites. The only reason why the record of the lineage of Abraham is because God was looking for a savior. I actually believe that God worked with someone in Ibuland too during this time. That God worked with people all over the world based on the way he could reveal himself to them. He was just looking for a lineage that would bring the Savior. And Abraham qualified. No problem. Even now, Yoruba man qualified. The Savior must have come from, would have come from Southwest. If now, Yoruba man from Southwest, he will come. Glory to God. So Abraham qualified. So look at what he said. So God, he wanted to curse. God told him to bless. He would try and curse. God would tell him to bless. Ah. He said, I have received the commandment to bless. And he has blessed. And I cannot reverse it. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father. Ephesians 1 3. Blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. Who has blessed us
bless you, bless me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if this is true, amen. And he said, God is not a man that should lie. He has blessed. I cannot reverse it. Why are you telling me you are cursed? Why are you telling me you are cursed? Let me explain. If Bill Gates, no, Elon Musk is not the one in show. If Elon Musk said that, I like you, brother Chimdi. He meets you one way or the other, online, whatever. And he meets you. He say, I want to bless you. I don't want to worry about. I want to bless you. Praise God. So what are the things you need? That's Bill Gates. That's Elon Musk. Then one rich man in Arera Market in Aba says, I'm going to deal with you. Elon Musk says, I want to bless you. You go and meet Elon Musk. If you want to bless me, this man is threatening me and everything. Who's blessing? Who the curse of this man and the blessing of this one? His blessing will swallow up this one's curse. But part of his blessing for you, man, he can just move you to America. And he won't lose one sweat. When you say someone is want, is it now 900 billion, nearly 1 trillion or something. Even if it's just 800 billion. If he spends $1 million alone on you, you'll be settled in America. You know, there are some countries in the world that if you pay them $400,000, they give you citizenship. And those countries, some of them are those Virgin Islands that have their passport. You don't need visa to enter America. You don't need visa to enter nearly 35-40% of 70% of countries in the world. If you have their passport. So if Elon Musk says, I want to bless you, he just spends $2 million on you, he won't feel it. He can even spend $10 million. He won't know he did anything. So if God says, I have blessed you, and one tattered person says he cursed you, why are you concerned with the curse? The blessing will swallow every curse. That you will know the person cursed you. You understand? They say you have somebody's taking you to court with a court case. He said, we sue you for $1 million. Then almost no problem. We'll sue him for $100 million. The guy withdraw the case. But let's settle out of court because he can't pay the $100 million. Hallelujah. I have received the commandment to bless. He has blessed. And I cannot reverse it. The Bible is God speaking to me. And God is not a man that he should lie. Let's just take God at his word. Hallelujah. God is not a man that he should lie. Another point. God's word does not return to him empty. Isaiah 55 verse 10 and 11. God's word does not return to him empty. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55 verse 10 and 11. That's why you take him at his word. His word does not return to him empty. If he says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. If he has said it, forget it. He will help you. Another scripture for God is not a man that should lie. Just write it down. 1 Samuel 15, 29. He says, the strength of Israel will not lie. The strength of Israel will not lie. Well, let's read this one first. As I range at the snow come down from heaven and does not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields the seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Verse 11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and it will achieve the purpose which I sent it. If you accomplish what I desire, give me 3 John 2. See one of the things he desires. 3 John 2. Because you see, if we are not careful, because of the economy of the country, we start living as if we don't have a father. Hallelujah. She said, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along. He said, this is my desire for you. God is saying that all may go well with you. If your landlord is chasing out of your house and because of rent, all is not going well. Hallelujah. If they chase your children out of school, they can't go because you've not paid school fees. They can't do exam. All is not going well. Hallelujah. If your office sacks you or you don't have any job again, all is not going well. He said, dear friends, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. And the Bible says, my word does not return to me void. He prospers where I sent it. He accomplishes what I wanted to accomplish. So he accomplishes what I desire. This is what he desires. So his word will accomplish it.
Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10. He says, see unto the righteous man, it shall be well with him. Are you righteous? He says, see unto the righteous man, it shall be well with. He said, my word accomplishes what I desire. From that statement, he said, my desire is that if you are righteous, it should be well with you. He said, to be well with you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Me prado supercates delevreketis ten dakaladata. Repradados of akis terabus avatata hake. Glory to God. I still have some more points, but I don't have to finish my note. It's not by force. Hallelujah. I've said God does not lie. God's word does not return to him empty. Hallelujah. Kos arabus tevreketarabus avatata. Hallelujah. God watches over his word to fulfill it. God watches over his word. Jeremiah. God watches over his word to fulfill it. Jeremiah 1:12. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Now, God is watching the word. Why are you trying to worry for him? Hallelujah. Look for what he has said to you. There's only one thing you need to do, and I'm going to end with it. Hallelujah. God watches over his word to fulfill it. And final point before I now say the last thing. When God speaks, his integrity is on the line. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. When God speaks, his integrity is on the line. Psalm 84 verse 39 says, my covenant will I not break. No. Psalm 89 verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor utter the things that came out of my mouth. But let's read Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read Psalm 89 verse 34 first. 89, 34. Mangrodos of Rakiste Lavate, the keyboardist. Can I just play something? Manas Zustel of Ratiaka. Keprados of Rekedis Tarabu Sarabu Tahaka. Oh, the Lord is speaking to me. There are some things we need to do this morning. Mani engerodosi. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Hallelujah. Membrados of Reketish Takratate, Kish Diremunda Kalihates, a still of Usaha. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Once I have sworn by my holiness, thou will not lie to David, so he won't lie to me too. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17. Let me see it. And as I begin to round up. All I've come to encourage you this morning is that depend on the word. Depend on the integrity of the word. Live as if the word of God is true. It will affect your conduct. You know, that's why I started. If you know the word of God is true, it will affect your conduct. It will affect your demeanor. It will affect your attitude. It will affect your joy. Hebrews 6:17. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. You see the next verse, that the oath was not necessary. It was because of us, he confirmed it with an oath. Let me read verse 17 again. God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear. So his purpose was already unchanging. His purpose was already unchanging. He just wanted to make it clear to us. So he confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. By two immutable things, two unchangeable things. In what was the first unchangeable thing? His promise, what he said, he won't change his mind. There's no mind that should lie. But to confirm it because of us, he swore on it again. So he said, I'm telling the truth, but I'm now swearing. Number one, I'm not a liar. The fact that I said it will come to pass. But to convince you, I'm swearing on it. Hallelujah. He said, by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly what? Encouraged. Hallelujah. Harados fatate ketusto rabosia. I just heard this in my spirit. Many times God speaks to me by songs. I just heard this song in my spirit. It's Romans chapter 5 verse 1 and 2. That's a song. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God
through our Lord Jesus Christ. Give me verse 2 in KJV, please. This one has to be KJV. By whom also we have access. Romans 5, 2. Through whom? KJV, please. Thank you. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And somebody ministered this in school when I was in school in 1996. See, the Holy Ghost things are permanent. This song I'm going to sing to you, someone sang it in my fellowship on a Sunday morning. I think it was in February. Okay, I think February 1997. I still have it in my jotter. And I'm using it today in service. That's about 30 years ago. Nearly 29 years ago. Is that not so? You know what the song is? It's just this last phrase. I rejoice in my hope of glory. 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 He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Because we are standing in the grace of God, he said, we rejoice in hope of his glory. The grace of God is all of God's ability to help us and deliver us. Hallelujah. So the guy now sang it. He said, when I look at my bank account, and he's saying it's all in red. I rejoice in my hope of glory. 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 When it seems I'm in a tight corner and there's no way out. I rejoice in my hope of glory. 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 What is the foundation of this rejoicing? He said, because we have been justified by faith. You can go back to your NIV, sir. 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Because we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom also we have access. Therefore, let's start from verse 1 again, NIV. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom also we have gained access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Because we are standing in grace, we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And the final point to knock it in. Psalm 119 verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your testimony endures unto all generations. That's 90. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. That's 100 now, 90 now, sorry. Your testimony endures unto all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth. And he endures. Please tell your neighbor, God's word is settled in heaven. It must be settled in your heart too. You see why? That's all you need to do. To express all these things of integrity of God's word. If word is already settled in heaven, I'll prove it to you with all these points. Now that word must be settled in your heart. Hallelujah. That word must be settled in your heart. How do you settle in your heart? Joshua 1, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. God's word that is settled in heaven must be settled in your heart. If it's settled in your heart, it will show in your demeanor. You rejoice in the face of tribulations. Because Romans 5, 3, now Paul now said, because of this, we glory when we face tribulations. He said, we rejoice when we face problems. Romans 5, 3, thank you. I'm rounding up. NIV is good. He said, because we are standing in the grace of God and we are rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in sufferings. Because we know that sufferings produce perseverance. KJV says that we glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience and experience hope. Do you know why? When you acted on God's word before, you saw it work for you. You have hope. When another thing shows up, you can act on the same word again. Hallelujah. When that thing shows up, that word doesn't fit. You act on it again. So when problem comes, there are opportunities to prove that the word is true. Hallelujah.
Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. That word will be settled in your heart. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. Mandro doso frakiste levreketiste levita. We're going to minister to the sick. Before we minister to the sick, if you are here, you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Can I see your hands up? Please just check ushers for me. Anybody here, in case we can't assume. Number one or two people that just came to church, they are not born again. Can I see your hands up? Let's pray together and get you born again. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you are not born again, can I see your hands up? Anybody? If you not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, okay, it's a believer's meeting. We're all born again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just bring tongues a bit. That wonderful name, Jesus. Oh, that wonderful name, Efratatake teste rekite dodoso fratistenia. Can I have one or two minstrels, please? That wonderful name. Efradoso bagatiste rabo dotetita rabo 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 rabo. There is no other name by you. Can you rise up and jump it up to the end stream? Efranoso narande. That wonderful name. Efracoso bagatiste onda que le disto romosia. Efretetete tototo fratiste ingratatata hake. That wonderful name. Hisora baba baba mama mose ketiste nianda Efrados batase terebita rabo.
That's wonderful name.
Efrados pakatiste riaka rabo. Ikardos seseste.
There is no other name I know.
Let's sing it again. That's wonderful name.
That's one. Efradoso
katatiste riatarabo mamamosa.
Jesus, that wonderful name.
Efradoso katatiste
brekete riatarabo
brekiste
riatarabo. That wonderful name.
Says that he was wounded for our transgressions, that he was bruised for our iniquities, that the punishment of our that brought us peace was upon him, and I by stripes were healed. Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, every man turned to his own way. The Lord has laid upon him iniquity of us all. If you have any infirmity in your body, I want to be ministered to you. Can you come out quickly? Any sickness in your body, quickly. I don't want to minister to the sick. Can't close anything else. Any sickness in your body, can you come out? Glory to God. He said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I don't care what it is. He said with his stripes, not my stripes. It is with his stripes we are healed. Exodus 15:26. He says, I am the Lord that he led thee. I am the Lord your physician. Hallelujah. As you come out, just say, thank you, Father. I receive my healing today. I'm taking my healing today. I'm taking my healing today. I'm not going to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. That's all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some years ago, in healing school in Abuja, this woman came. She had an issue of blood. What did I say? An issue of blood. The blood was flowing. After the period, didn't stop flowing. She just said, she had been coming to listen to word many times. But that she just said, she's not even Nigerian anymore. She said, I just know if I come to healing school, brother, she'll just agree with me. And it will leave. So she came. I didn't feel any anointing. Because it is the word that we're acting on. Forever, oh Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So we agreed in the name of Jesus, be healed.
And she went back. I called her about a month or two later, a week or two later. So whatever. I said, it stopped. It's gone. It has stopped. You see, there is power in the name of Jesus. I said, wherefore God has highly exalted him, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, beings on earth, and beings on the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God, Father. As I lay hands on, I'm not going to pray long prayer because I'm not the one doing it. I'm just going to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. Be healed. That's all. I'm not even praying. I'm saying be healed in the authority of the Lord Jesus. And his authority will come in and bring, make you healed. I'll make you. He's, when we are sharing in his name, it is in his power. It's not my power. So his power will step in and bring me healed. So are you ready to receive healing? Hallelujah. That's wonder. I want you to speak together. One straight line, please. I just want to lay hands. I command you in the name, just lift your hands. As I come to you, I say I receive in Jesus' name. As I touch you, say I receive in Jesus' name. Be singing, but reduce the volume. Thank you, Father. I'm standing on the authority of the head of the church, and I'm using his name. I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. 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 Lift up hands and give him praise. Say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Because I'm healed. I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. You can go back to your seat. You're healed. Just give him thanks. It's as simple as that. It's his name. It's his name. It's not me. He said, in my name, the only hands on the sick. He's the one that said they will recover. So when you go in his name, you are going in his authority. He's the one that does healing. So he doesn't need long prayer. I just check yourself. You find out. Send a testimony to church. Find out you're healed. It's as simple as that. I want to pray for the congregation. Amen. Praise God. From that song that came to my heart when I was singing that song. Know what that song means? I rejoice in my hope of glory. It means there are some people here. They are facing some things physically that is not right. Hallelujah. Physically, it's a challenge. You understand? Physically, not healing now. Taking care of healing. Of sickness. That one is gone. Physically is it? Why am I so communal about healing? Because God told me to go and minister to the sick. Not just from the Bible. It's in the Bible. But he told me to go and minister to the sick. I was still going over it this morning. Hallelujah. I had a dream that night. 2014. Long time ago. In a dream. Kenneth Hagin told me to go and minister to the sick. I went. I came back. I said nothing happened. He said, go again. You have it. He said, I will follow you. He didn't follow me. I went. I now look back. Where is he? And I woke up. Maybe I was thinking that he needed to follow me physically. Hallelujah. You know, that morning around 5 a.m., somebody sent me a text, a prophet that I respect, a friend of mine. Say, I had a vision and God told me to tell you that I was giving you a healing ministry, but I'm not using it. So until you step out and start using it, you will not see miracles. So from that day, I said to her, so I started healing school the next year. And before I ever came to my address, I started healing school. Said, he says, you start using it. Praise God. Why am I saying there is healing power in this place? And I just feel I want to speak over the whole congregation. I don't know why. Maybe some people didn't come. I don't know why. I just want to speak over the whole congregation. In the name of Jesus, I release the healing power of God. I proclaim healing to every single person under the sound of my voice and in this auditorium. Even to the children's church, I command the healing power. I demand in the name of Jesus, I speak healing on everybody, on every life, from every infirmity, diabetes, hypertension, things that they thought were incurable. But your word says you heal all. That means they are all curable. There is no incurable disease with you. We speak healing. Hallelujah. To nerve problems. To what? No, what I want to say is actually gland, like thyroid gland, things like that. To endocrine and thyroid and gland problems. We speak healing to it in Jesus' name. Endocrine and gland problem. I don't know what it is. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for healing broken bones. Bones that have been weak become strong. Thank you, Father God. For your bones are no longer brittle. They are strong. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for clarity of eyesight in the name of Jesus. We speak, eyes begin to see clearly in Jesus' name. Thank you for wounds that refuse to be healed. We command you to be healed now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. We give you praise and glory. In agreement with the body of Christ, with the church and with the elders of the church, I speak a blessing over this assembly. I speak increase. I speak progress going forward, individually and as a congregation. Thank you, Father God, for they will take this land and fulfill your plan for their lives. People will get saved through their ministry, personally and as a church. People's lives will be changed. Men will follow you closely because of them. In Jesus' name, it is well. And I speak the blessing of God upon every marriage. Every marriage and every home, they're blessed. Every profession, they're blessed. Those that need to change profession, that they seem they are stuck, they need new ideas. I speak in the name of Jesus, divine ideas begin to come to you. To God lift you up and take you further than you've ever gone. I seek blessing upon the students. Your mind is sharp. The Holy Ghost quickens your mind. You are excellent students. And no weapon, no lecturer, no oppressor form against you shall prosper. And every turn that against you, judgment is condemned. Thank you, Father, for it is well. We are not seeing fruits yet. You still see fruits. Hallelujah. Just stay with it and put your hand, keep your hand on the plow. You've not seen fruits yet. You will still see fruit. Don't think you've seen anything yet. You will still see fruit. Just keep your hand on the plow and stay faithful and be encouraged. It's funny. It's okay. It's funny. I still have yet great plans ahead for you. So let not your hearts be troubled or be moved. Just walk closer with me and stay focused and in reverence, in humility and submission, because I'll still yet do you good in your latter end. So stay with me and keep walking with me. Oh, Sulabake Tosto Prakiste Kratata. Miste. Oh, glory. I hate in my spirit. I don't know why I need to say it again because of someone. Stop worrying about that problem. Even if you're the one that made a mistake, he said he was wounded for our transgressions. It's because we transgressed that he was wounded. He was bruised because of our iniquities. We are not indulging you to keep doing wrong. But you've done that one, we can't change it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised because we had iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So let your heart be at peace. Let not your heart be troubled. But the things that have gone and happened, they have gone, they've happened, they've gone. Look to him and rejoice, because he will help you. He will help you. Don't say it was my fault. Oh, I will be ashamed of my fault. No! Rejoice and be glad, because the Father of mercy says he will help you. The Father of mercy says he will help you. So while let's lift up hands and give him praise, because we receive his help. We receive his help. We receive his help. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.